And now,
great to be back.
Back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
Awesome.
And your host, Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. As we get closer to the election, these two subjects dominate the conversation. Each of my guests will discuss either business or politics or both. My next guest argues that there's a redistribution of wealth from suburbanites to city dwellers directed by the federal government to involuntarily amalgamate all suburbs into the inner cities they surround. We'll discuss how President Obama is robbing the suburbs to pay for the cities from his book, Spreading the Wealth. Stanley Kurtz is a senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center and a contributing editor for the National Review Online. He's also written for the National Review, the Weekly Standard, the Wall Street Journal, Policy Review, and Commentator. Joining us from the Washington, D.C. area. Hi, Stanley. How are you today?
Bill, I'm great, and thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for being on the show and being a subject matter expert. This was an amazing story to me, and it's one of those bits of news that comes as a revelation. And I'm going to start with back the 1960s, because one of the unintended consequences of urban planners during LBJ's Great Society in the 60s was this mass exodus of white urban dwellers to the suburbs. Now, President Obama claims to be working for the middle class, but in fact, you assert that he's contemptuous of the middle class and aims to wipe it out. And you make the case that President Obama's priority today is the socialist redistribution of wealth from suburbanites to city dwellers, thereby undoing 50 years of migration, what migration has done. So make your case.
Well, that's right, Bill. What I discovered, and it really was a revelation to me, because I'd written about Obama's past, but I'd never run into this, and no one has really reported it, but for nearly two decades, Barack Obama has been a huge supporter of a movement whose goal is to have city governments swallow up and control suburban governments. The idea here is to somehow get a hold of suburban tax money and channel it back to the cities. So President Obama, really the bottom line is, wants to redistribute the wealth of America's suburbs to the cities.
Well, now, this movement that you're referring to, that's the regional equity movement, is it not?
Exactly.
And how was the regional equity movement founded? Where did we get that movement? Who's the starter of that movement?
Well, there's a fellow named David Rusk who a couple decades ago wrote a book called Cities Without Suburbs. And at that time, what Rusk advocated, and Rusk had been the former mayor of Albuquerque, New Mexico, I believe it was, and Rusk advocated cities annexing all their surrounding suburbs, literally swallowing them up so that it could get a hold of that tax money. The problem for Rusk was that most states forbid that without the consent of the governed. You can't have a city swallowing up a suburb unless the suburbanites vote it. So at that point, Rusk and a lot of other people who supported him went to Plan B. And Plan B was a whole series of moves to undercut the economic and political independence of the suburbs. This morphed into a movement, and the community organizers who trained and worked with Barack Obama jumped onto that bandwagon. In fact, they became the key grassroots arm of this regional equity movement. That's what I've discovered. And not only did Obama work with them and support them with lots of foundation money and political support during the early part of his career in Illinois, but what amazed me even more was to discover Obama is working with all these folks to this day from the White House, and that there are so many federal policies out there that Obama is working on under the political radar that are enacting the dream goals of this movement. And it's really going to kick in the second term.
If there is a second term. My guest is Stanley Kurtz, author of the book Spreading the Wealth. So, Stanley, let's get a little bit more fundamental before we dive into some of the characters that you mentioned in the White House and equate how moving to the suburbs in pursuit of the American dream of an affordable family home and quality of life and a locally controlled school, how does that appear to some like refusing to share tax money with the urban poor?
Well, of course, the classic American dream sees it just the opposite way. In the classic view, you scrimp and you save, you work hard, you pull yourself into the middle class so you can get that freestanding home with a yard in the suburbs and raise your kids, send them to great schools. And that is an anti-poverty program of sorts. That is the way America generates wealth, by giving people an incentive to work hard and do better. But the community organizers who trained Obama saw it from a 180-degree opposite point of view. In their imagination, people going to the suburbs meant they were taking their tax money with them. What was really going on here was that the community organizers who trained Obama used to run around using these high-pressure tactics on politicians, trying to get them to spend more and more money on the cities. But even they realized at a certain point, it's just not working. No matter how much government money we have funneled into these areas, they don't get any better. The neighborhoods don't fundamentally change. Now, a lot of people would have looked at that and said, maybe big government doesn't work. But these folks drew the opposite conclusion. They latched on to some people like David Rusk and another fellow named Myron Orfield, who argued that the problems of the cities can be blamed on the suburbs and this fleeing tax base. And they decided to focus all their efforts on grabbing hold of suburban tax money and pushing it back to the cities. And this is the movement that Obama jumped onto and has been supporting ever since.
All right. My guest is Stanley Kurtz. Stanley, you've mentioned some of the cast of characters, David Rusk. We haven't mentioned yet Saul Alinsky. However, one of the more interesting quotes out of these advisors that are close to President Obama is one by the name of Mike Kruglick. And he coined the phrase apartheid in America, referring to the urban, the inner city urbans separate from the suburban communities. So talk to us a little bit about Mike's role in the White House, what he plans to do, and how you see this playing out in the second term of Obama's presidency, if there is one.
Well, Bill, Mike Kruglick was one of the original community organizing bosses of Obama all those years ago in Chicago. He was actually probably closer to Obama on a personal basis than the other organizers Obama worked for. And one of the things I do in the book is trace out this long and continuous relationship between Obama and Kruglick. They worked together when Obama was in the state Senate. Kruglick's son actually was on Obama's staff when he was a U.S. senator, and Obama worked with Kruglick's group. And now Kruglick has started a new group that he calls Building One America. And what I discovered was that the Obama White House has been closely coordinating with this group, Building One America. Now, what exactly does that group want? Well, the purpose of Building One America, at least one of them, is to have state legislatures force suburbs to redistribute their tax money to the cities. We already see this in one place in the United States, Minneapolis-St. Paul. This is a region where, because of an order from the state legislature, suburbs have to kick in a huge chunk of their tax money to a common pot that all the municipalities in the Minneapolis-St. Paul region funnel into. Then the money is redistributed according to population. So the upshot of it is that the suburbs end up channeling a huge chunk of their tax money back to the cities. They call it regional tax-based sharing. It probably should be called regional tax-based stealing. But in any case, this is the practice that for two decades now, Kruglick and Obama and the whole group of organizers they worked with wanted to see spread throughout the United States. And in July of 2011, the Obama White House actually hosted a conference with local politicians from what are called inner ring suburbs, the slightly less well-off suburbs. And the goal here is to try to get those politicians to ally themselves with politicians from the cities and outvote the bulk of the suburbs in state legislatures and impose this regional tax base sharing law. So Obama is essentially coordinating with his old community organizing mentor, laying the basis of a high-pressure campaign in a second term to try to make state legislatures in different parts of the country impose this tax-based so-called sharing on suburbs.
All right. My guest is Stanley Kurtz, author of the book Spreading the Wealth, How Obama is Robbing the Suburbs to Pay for the Cities. And Stanley, I'm going to challenge you a little bit here because there are other cities. You mentioned Minneapolis-St. Paul, but other cities like Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Nashville, Tennessee, and Louisville have combined their cities with their suburbs to certain degrees. And most of that consolidation was done by efficiency-minded Republican city and county managers. So in what ways have these cities suffered because of any of this consolidation?
Well, if people want to do this by their own free vote, they're absolutely entitled to do it. But the idea of trying to split the suburbs against themselves and go to a state legislature and force suburbs against their will to kick in this money, I find that very problematic. And in fact, the suburbs in Minneapolis-St. Paul that are forced to kick in that money are very unhappy about it. Minnesota is a sufficiently Democratic state that it's impossible for the suburbanites around Minneapolis-St. Paul to reverse the decision right now because Minneapolis has turned more liberal. Jesse Ventura, the ex-wrestler who was famous for becoming a rebellious governor in Minnesota, he actually made his fame as a talk show host protesting against this tax base sharing. So the people who have been forced into this in the Minneapolis area are not at all happy about it. Of course, if people, you know, I'm for local control, and if people by their own vote agree to pool resources, that's perfectly well up to them. But another one of Obama's plans is something called the Sustainable Communities Initiative. That's what you're going to see in the second term, where plans are going to come out detailing ways for wealth to be redistributed from suburbs to cities, suburbs that haven't agreed to pull in with the cities officially. Plans are going to come out to pressure suburbanites to move back to the cities. And then President Obama is going to have the power to withhold federal money unless the locality knuckles under. So those kind of high-pressure tactics that are going against the will of the people on the ground are what I object to. I'm for local control, and if the suburbs and the cities want to consolidate through a free vote of the people, that's fine with me.
All right. My guest is Stanley Kurtz. So, Stanley, why haven't more liberal mayors leading more liberal cities like Michael Bloomberg of New York or Antonio Villaraigosa of L.A. initiated plans to annex some of their suburbs into the cities?
Well, in most states, it's become illegal to annex suburbs without the consent of the governed. This was a practice that was used in the 19th century, but eventually there were objections, and the states simply made it illegal. That's why a lot of these roundabout practices are being resorted to. You literally can't do the annexation. Another interesting thing, though, is that you mentioned before African-Americans. Actually, the African-Americans who are in city government, who are either mayors or bureaucrats in city government, tend to oppose these regional consolidation plans. They also feel that they want local control of the cities where they live, and they object to these kind of consolidations. That's one reason why radical community organizations have to carry the ball of this movement. So this actually cuts across racial lines. I think it's more of a class issue, and I argue that in the book. It actually goes back to Reverend Wright, who you might remember helped attract Obama to his congregation by saying that he opposed middle classness. What he meant was that he didn't want African Americans in Chicago to move out to the suburbs. So this actually splits across lines of race and ethnicity and has more to do with class. And it turns out that the city officials, whether they're African American or not, often oppose these kind of moves toward regional consolidation.
All right. My guest is Stanley Kurtz, author of the book Spreading the Wealth. Stanley, I'm glad you brought up Reverend Jeremiah Wright, because that was actually my next question that I was going to ask you. It's interesting to me that now Reverend Jeremiah Wright lives in a multi-million dollar gated subdivision. So I know I'm asking you to put yourself into his position, but how would he or any upwardly mobile minority feel about annexing that community back into the inner city that they just fled from?
Right. Well, I'm not sure. I know that he's in a gated, relatively luxurious place. Whether it's within the city limits or not, I'm not sure. But Chicago is a very interesting case study, because that is one of the cities that grew in the 19th century through annexation. Chicago now is very large geographically, and Hyde Park, where Obama lived, was originally a suburb of the city, and in the 19th century it was swallowed up. But notice that it hasn't really solved Chicago's problems. Chicago is still a very segregated city. It's a city with large sections of which are impoverished. In theory, these organizers say that annexing suburbs will solve those problems. But if you look at Chicago itself, which grew through annexation, those problems have not been solved.
My guest is Stanley Kurtz. Stanley, I'm more of a businessman myself, and I find the more interesting question is to ask what happens to the total tax revenue as these cities are annexed into the suburbs, Minneapolis-St. Paul being a good example. Property values in the annexed suburbs may decline, probably will decline, reducing the total amount of money that's available to the newly combined city for schools and other municipal services. Speculate on the impact for us, will you please?
Well, obviously, the suburbanites who are forced to redistribute their money toward the cities are either going to have to pay more in taxes to maintain the same level of services, or they're going to see their level of services go down, and that's going to cut against them economically. Will the money that goes from them into the cities really help? Will it really work when it's dispensed by the government? I tend to think that that's not the most efficient way to improve the situation of the cities. As the community organizers who bought into this as an explanation for their failures discovered, when you try to redistribute wealth and have the government spend it, it tends not to really work and take root. And I think it's an illusion to think that you'll solve the economic problems of the city by taking from the suburbs. I think there's an ingrained culture of poverty in some sections, just through the tragedy of years and years of economic deprivation. It's become hard for people to have that good old middle-class ethic. I think we need a cultural rejuvenation that brings that ethic of hard work back across the board in the country. Stop talking about redistribution and start praising the virtues of free enterprise again. And I think you'll see a flowering, and of course, pulling out regulations that are stifling businesses. I think that's the way to generate wealth. Otherwise, you're in a kind of zero-sum game that inevitably will push you toward class warfare. We've avoided that in the United States by growing the pie for everyone, and I think that's the way to go.
My guest is Stanley Kurtz. Stanley, that sounds like a theme for your next book, but his current book is Spreading the Wealth, How Obama is Robbing the Suburbs to Pay for the Cities. Stanley, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Spreading the Wealth?
Well, there's a political point here that I'll be very frank about, and I am in the book as well. President Obama right now is running for re-election. He's appealing to middle-class suburbanites. He sees them as the core part of his coalition. And what the book is basically saying is, you middle-class suburbanites are actually the targets of Obama's redistributionist programs. It isn't just the 1%. And President Obama, taking a leaf from Occupy Wall Street, talked about that 1% in his Osawatomie speech. But the truth is, he's after the pocketbooks of the suburban middle class. And I think voters need to consider that before they make their choice this November.
A cautionary tale. My guest has been Stanley Kurtz. Stanley, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks so much for having me, Bill.